Well, I had a lesson planned for prayer tonight. We've been studying out of Sermon on the Mount, and Brother Ben did a whole lot better job lesson on prayer than I can do, so decided to skip that lesson and go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. And I suppose you say I'm not a poster boy for this lesson, because we're going to talk about fasting that pleases God. When Jesus said in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." This is a subject that we hear very little about today. Many people have the idea that we should fast as a divine ritual. But in a culture where the landscape is dotted with shrines to the golden arches and assortment of pizza parlors and steak houses and all those kind of things all over the place, it seems a little bit out of place to talk about fasting. But really, the scripture has quite a lot to say about fasting. Fasting, or the word fast or fasting, is mentioned 39 times, whereas the word repent or repentance is mentioned only 47 times, just a few times more than the word fasting or fast is mentioned in the Testament. Yet, we question whether or not Christians should fast today. That's like saying, should we repent today? Because fasting is a topic that is dealt with in Scripture almost as much as the idea of repentance. So in this lesson, Jesus taught concerning fasting, the kind of fasting that is pleasing to God. This is in connection with the acts of righteousness, like charity that we talked about in a previous lesson, as well as prayer in this same context. When he talks about when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And then he gives the model prayer that Brother Ben did such a good job in discussing in this lesson on prayer. But this particular subject is dealt with just as much as many other topics in Scripture. And so as Jesus calls the disciples to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, he talked to them about their fasting. And so in our study tonight, we're going to examine this passage and consider what Jesus had to say about fasting that does indeed please God. And the first question we're going to ask is, should we as Christians fast today? And let me hasten to add that I do not think the Bible teaches we are to fast as a religious ritual in worship, such as we do in praying, but it does teach that we are to fast. The examples of our Lord are many in regard to his teaching on fasting. He demonstrated in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, when he was there in the wilderness, 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. Jesus fasted there in the wilderness. And then in our text here, he said, when not to. He said, when, not if. He didn't say, if you fast, but he said, when you fast. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Moreover, when you fast. And so there's an indication that this was something they were going to do. And he said they would fast when he was gone. If you go over to Matthew chapter 9, there in verses 14 and 15, Jesus said to them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Of course, Jesus is the bridegroom. We as the church are the bride of Christ. And so he says, when the bridegroom is gone, then they will fast. He said in our text, remember in verse 16 to 18, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. In other words, he taught how to fast to please God. Don't appear to people to fast. He said, if you do that, then you have your reward. But when you fast, you anoint your head and wash your face. As we would say today, you go ahead and get dressed up. Don't appear to people like you are fasting. And so, we understand that fasting is done only when it is appropriate to fast. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, no man putteth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. What Jesus talks about there in verses 16 and 17 is that people need to understand when they ought to fast. As you go on in verse 18 of the text, that thou appear not unto men to fast. There's a time to fast and a time not to fast. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Here, Jesus connects fasting with prayer. The times when prayer should be joined with our fasting. And so there are a number of examples of our Lord fasting and his teaching to the disciples in regard to fasting. The examples of fasting are involved in the early church. The brethren at Antioch in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. It talks about the people in Antioch, prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, and these individuals, along with Saul. It said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Here, fasting is connected very closely with the idea of the sending out of Paul and Barnabas, along with prayer. Same thing in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 through verse 23, when they were appointing elders in churches of Galatia. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorted them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. When preachers were sent out, they prayed and they fasted. When the elders were appointed, they prayed and they fasted. You also will see examples of the Apostle Paul fasting as a gospel preacher, as a minister. Fasting was one of the things, or among the things, that proved him to be a minister. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 23. Paul talks about his ministry. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, and now today I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst. Here it is. In fasting, often, in cold and nakedness. Fasting is one of the things that Paul mentions in this long list of things that demonstrate the fact that he was indeed a minister of Jesus Christ. And he said, besides those things that are without, that which cometh among me daily, the care of all the churches. Fasting is one of the things that Paul did as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul fasted as a part of his work as a minister. Part of the time, it was due to the fact that he couldn't obtain food. It wasn't that he was doing this as a ritualistic thing to demonstrate his faithfulness to the Lord, but at times it's simply because he didn't have sufficient food to eat. When he said, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often. So fasting here is mentioned along with his hunger and thirst. Sometimes it may be forced upon those who are children of God because of various circumstances. They do without food because of their inability to obtain food. That was the case with Paul. And so it is not inappropriate for Christians to fast today. Obviously, there may be medical reasons for people not to fast. But generally speaking, it would not be inappropriate for Christians to fast today. But the question arises, why should Christians fast? What will be the occasion for someone to fast? Well, obviously, people fast for various reasons. Some just for the health. Some in times of grief and sorrow, maybe as a way of gaining self-control, simply doing without food. Yet these are not the reasons why Christians should fast. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 20, Paul would say, wherefore if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, as the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. This idea of will worship that Paul talks about here is a determination to show other people, as we would say today, to show off in the worship that you're engaging in, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. They're putting on a show. They're pretending. He said, if you be dead with Christ, if you've died to the rudiments of the world, why though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? There is no ordinance for us to fast as a religious ritual, as a religious practice, to demonstrate our worship to God. Because he said, which all are to perish with the using, as the commandments and doctrines of men. They were teaching fasting as a religious ritual. That was one of the things that they taught. This is one of the things that had a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body. But it was a put on demonstration for the benefit of other people. And so that's the reason that Christians fast is not just for their health. It's not, there's nothing wrong with fasting in time of grief or sorrow as a way to gain self-control. I'm not suggesting that would be wrong to do that, but that's not one of the reasons why the scripture teaches that we as Christians should fast. So, why should Christians fast? I believe Christians fast when they're seeking divine help. In the Old Testament, people fasted in times of war or threat of war. Israel did that. When loved ones were sick, remember David fasted. He wouldn't eat when he's waiting to see if his son by Bathsheba was going to live. After the child died, he got up and he took food. He washed himself, put on clean clothes. And they wondered why he fasted, wouldn't eat before the child died. He was in much grief and sorrow. But he said, as the child died, he didn't need to grieve in the way that he did before. He said before it was possible that God might spare the child's life. And now the child's dead. He said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. And so the example that David said in the Old Testament is one of fasting when someone was sick. And remember Ahab in seeking forgiveness? Ahab fasted. Daniel fasted. When seeking God's protection, Ezra fasted. In the New Testament, fasting occurred when dealing with temptation. You remember? We read where Jesus fasted there in the wilderness when he was tempted of the devil. They fasted when they were serving the Lord, the church in Antioch, when they separated men to go into the work of preaching the gospel. When beginning a work for the Lord, again in Antioch, when selecting and appointing elders, as we noted there in Galatians. All of these were activities that involved their religious convictions and carrying out the Lord's will. It wasn't done for personal aggrandizement. It wasn't done for show, but it was done in conjunction with the work that they were to engage in. And this fasting was done in conjunction with prayer. It was an indication of their desire for spiritual things rather than physical sustenance. Desire for spiritual sustenance. Not being concerned with physical sustenance. Fasting done properly will humble an individual. In Psalms 35, verse 13, David said, "But it's for me. When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom." I humbled my soul with fasting. In Psalm 69 and verse 10, fasting is said to chasten. He said, "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach." I chastened my soul with fasting. So what you're seeing is a spiritual application of this. It's for our spiritual well-being. Not necessarily for other people to see. What for the benefit of others? Prayers of the humble are more likely to be heard. Listen to Ezra in Ezra chapter 8, beginning of verse 21. He said, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken to the king, saying," here's what they told the king, "The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us." This was a demonstration of their dependence upon God. They didn't want to ask for outside help. They were depending upon God to deliver them. And so as a result of them humbling themselves and asking God, then God did in fact help them. So this gives us some insight as to why Christians should fast. Well, when should Christians fast? Obviously, when we desire God's help, we fast. There may be an occasion on an individual level when faced with difficulties, when maybe a difficult temptation faces you, or maybe a serious illness of a loved one. When you are more concerned with the person's well-being, the restoration of their health, than you are with physical food. So these occasions might be on a congregational level. as when churches appointed elders, or when they were sending out men as what we would call missionaries. This was done with fasting and prayer. The fasting was an indication of their level of spirituality and their dependence upon God. So there are times when it is appropriate for Christians to fast, when situations call for persistent prayer. Remember, God is more likely to answer our prayers if we are persistent. There's a passage over Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8, where he spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always pray, don't faint. You don't give up, you don't quit praying. And he talks about in the city there was a judge that didn't fear God or regard man, but there was a widow that came in the city and came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Listen. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. This judge, he wasn't a child of God. He wasn't doing it because it was the right thing to do, but because of the persistence of this widow. And the text goes on and says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. God is more inclined to answer our prayers if we are persistent in our prayer, and if we fast in the proper way, as we noted there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You don't do it to be seen to men. You do it for the Lord, to implore his help, his mercy. And so when a matter requires a great deal of prayer, fasting will be in conjunction with such prayer. And certainly that would be appropriate. So, fasting that pleases God, we've already noticed, is not to be seen in men. Like the hypocrites of Jesus, they did with a sad countenance, disfigured faces. It's possible that they were applying ashes to their face to make themselves look sad. This is a common practice. But this fasting earns only the praise of men, not the praise of God, as we noted there in Matthew 6:16. Fasting that is seen of God is without the appearance of fasting. Wash your face, put on your good clothes, do what people do normally as a part of their daily dress habits. God sees fasting and rewards openly. And maybe that he rewards by answering their prayers. That's the context there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. God answers prayer. Father, thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. God can grant our wishes if we are sincere in the things that we're asking, and fasting is an indication of that sincerity. And so this fasting is not some regular ritual. Over in Matthew, the 9th chapter, there beginning of verse 14, they came to Jesus, the disciple John came to Jesus, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? Here's Jesus' answer. Can the children of the bridegroom mourn, of the bride chamber mourn, as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, then shall they fast. When the bridegroom is taken from them, then they will fast. So it should be done when the occasion calls for it. It may be in a situation where you're already spending a great deal of time in prayer. And so you do without food as a result of maybe anguish of spirit, maybe just to devote yourself to prayer in a more dedicated way. But notice also, this is not without true repentance. This passage over in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labor. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and dismayed with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? That's a question, a rhetorical question, you might say. The obvious answer, no. A day for man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bull rush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an accountable day of the Lord? What was this being done with that? It was done without repentance. All the praying, all the fasting that one can do is to no avail if it's not accompanied by a penitent, obedient spirit. And so, let me offer some practical suggestions. This, of course, goes back to what our Lord said. Don't fast just because it sounds like a neat thing to do. You need to take the subject seriously, prayerfully. Fast only when the occasion is a serious occasion, one in which you desperately desire the help of God, that you continually pray to God and ask Him, that you're persistent and your fasting will be an indication of the seriousness of your request. Fast when you have time to spend in prayerful meditation. Remember the purpose of fasting. It's to humble ourselves in God's sight. It's to seek a favorable answer to prayer or for some important plea. That's the kind of fasting that pleases God. Obviously, as you think about fasting that pleases God, there's a great deal more that could be said on the subject of fasting. But hopefully this will suffice to stimulate our thinking on a subject that has often been neglected in both study as well as practice. I'm afraid to admit that I've prayed a great deal more than I've fasted. Fasting is something that demonstrates our abject humility and determinedness to God. Because we go without food as a result of our desire to have God answer our prayers. So implied in Jesus' teaching is that His disciples would fast. So it's important for us to know what's involved in fasting, the kind of fasting that pleases God. So as useful as fasting might be, praying and fasting alone cannot save the person who's lost. Remember Saul of Tarsus? He found this out. He fasted for 3 days and come to believe in Jesus as the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 9, and Acts chapter 22, verse 6 through 16. Saul was on his way to Damascus to bind men and women, take them back to Jerusalem to be punished. The Lord appeared to him. He went to the city of Damascus, but he didn't do what he had intended to do when he got to Damascus. Jesus told him, go into the city, and there will be told him what he ought to do. And so now Saul is there in the city of Damascus, fasting and praying. We didn't have forgiveness of his sins. Because remember what Ananias told him to do in Acts 22, verse 16. And now while tarriest thou, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul didn't have forgiveness of sins. Even though he had prayed, he had fasted. It's obvious he repented because he didn't do what he went there to do. And that's what repentance is. A change of mind that leads to a change of action. So now he's not doing what he went there to do. And he's fasting and he's praying. It's obvious that Saul of Tarsus is sorry for what he has done. And he wants God's help. He didn't have salvation. until he submitted himself to baptism. What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. That is, do this by his authority, because that's what the Lord requires of you, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. So all the fasting and all the praying, all the repentance, none of that will save your soul in and of itself or by itself. It takes complete obedience to the Lord's will. And that involves being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've not done that, we'd urge you to do it tonight. Facilities are provided for you to complete your obedience if you desire to do that. Should there be one in the audience that realizes they need to make public acknowledgement of sin, you can do that tonight. Whatever your need may be, why don't you come and together we stand and sing for your encouragement.